Talk about how to properly store your produce. Now, there's many different ways to do such. We're not going to go into the science and the deep dive into it, but we're just going to mention several of them and what we feel is best via our experience.
So one of the, I don't know if there's the best way to store your harvest, but one of the most well-known ways that a lot of people are getting back into is through canning.
Yeah, we've seen this, and we've talked about it on the program, where we can't find the canning lids. We can find lots and lots of jars, but we can't find the actual lids. And Holly, you talked to, what was it, Michael from Ball Customer Service, somewhere in that range?
Like Consumer Services, yeah. But yeah, he talked to us about the lids, and what had happened was is that they had people were basically stockpiling the lids last year. And then they were selling them.
Some, not all.
Not all, but some were selling them to make a profit. And now Ball had to ramp up their production to make up for that quote-unquote loss.
So canning is kind of like the go-to, the number one thing in which you can do. But we don't always can everything that we grow. We, for example, green beans, we do not can them.
No, we prefer them by freezing them. We have canned them in the past. It is something that a lot of people do. There's nothing wrong with canning them, but we just...
How do we freeze ours?
Sure. So, well, we freeze ours just because we like the texture better. But we freeze ours, we do like a, what's called a parboiling or a blanching. And what you do is you just put them in boiling hot water for about a minute or so, and then you put them directly into an ice bath to stop that cooking. And then when you want to eat them, you thaw them out, and then you cook them how you wish.
We've tried to, and back when many of you and I had grown up, you didn't pressure can green beans. You water bath them for like 3 hours or some crazy time duration such as that. But then it became unsafe for the water bath canning procedure to do. So that's why the National Home for Food Preservation,
National Center for Home Food Preservation,
deemed it unsafe unless you pressure can. But it's just too mushy for us. We just don't care much for the mushiness. Now, if you have the availability or mimic something such as a root cellar, you can do that. You can store it. You know, even a root cellar, not so much the traditional definition, but let's say a basement.
Right. So, yeah, you could do a basement. You'd have to kind of figure out the best area, perhaps, because I know, like, some people's basements, they have...
Are very climatized.
Very climatized. Some basements are finished on one area and climatized and then not on another area. So, yeah, so you want to think about that. If it's not climatized and it does get cool enough during the winter, it's going to help keep those vegetables fresh. Almost like a refrigerator.
Well, some people, some preppers, and some creative weekend warriors, they create a root cellar on their property, basically just digging a hole and creating the same type of environment. Or they take a refrigerator and puncture the holes in the right spot and all this and that in order for the air to circulate and do all what it needs to do. That brings us into the next thing, which is carrots.
Right. Well, I was just going to say that if you have an extra fridge, you know, some people have like a beverage fridge.
Right.
You could have like a food storage fridge.
True.
Yeah. So anyway, carrots. Some people store their carrots in the ground. And what they do is over winter, they don't harvest them in the end of the season.
Well, now, when we say leave them in the ground, it's not just, oh, look, they're tops, we walk away. They cover them with leaves, straw, a lot of organic material.
I was getting to that. But yeah, so what they do is they cover them with probably about 2 to 3 feet of mulch or straw, leaves, what have you, some sort of organic material to help kind of insulate them in a sense. And then they would go out there and say, oh, I'm going to get a couple carrots for dinner. Or whatever, and then they go out and pull them out of the ground.
Right, basically a refrigerator that prevents the ground from freezing to make easier access. And you can do similar things with Jerusalem artichokes in that aspect as well. Now, whenever we harvest these things, whether we are harvesting potatoes, carrots, Jerusalem artichokes, etc., you don't just hit them with the hose as soon as you harvest them so they look all pretty for your picture.
Right, so what you want to do is you want to leave the dirt on them, the soil on them. And you can still take your picture. They're still going to look nice.
Yeah.
But you want to leave that on there, and it kind of creates like a seal or like a barrier or whatever when you leave that dirt on there, and it's going to help them store a bit longer, whether it be in the fridge, if you have like a root cellar type thing, what have you.
Well, and here's the other thing. Whenever we store our items in the freezer, let's say, you know, we blanch them, whether it's kale or carrots or however we store them in the freezer, there is a difference between a freezer bag and a storage bag.
Right, and I did want to touch on this, is you want to think about that. The freezer bags are a little bit thicker in their texture, whatever you want to call it.
Similar to there's a canning jar, and then there's a glass jar that looks like a canning jar.
Right, so these freezer bags are made for freezing, and they don't cost a bunch more. They cost a little bit more, but they are worth that investment.
Because they're designed to stand those long, cold temperatures in your freezer.
And for us, I like the zipper top. I'm not talking about like the scrunchy, like the pinchy top. I like the ones that kind of zip along, because that way I know it's getting nice and sealed. Right. But whatever you prefer is fine too.
And whenever you are, processing or storing, let's say storing your produce, you want to examine what you're harvesting. Now, obviously, it depends on the produce, Holly. Tomatoes have a shorter shelf life than a pumpkin.
Right.
Leaf lettuce, shorter shelf life than a tomato.
Right. That's another thing, is you want to think about that, what you're eating. But also, say you dig up your potatoes,
mm-hmm.
and you ding a couple with the shovel.
No, you don't ding them. You jam them right through the heart of the potato like we all do
right.
with our garden fork. Or we slice them. Oh, we're far enough. And boom, you get three of them right there.
Right. So, you ding them, you jam your fork in there, whatever. And that does happen. So then you want to eat those potatoes first. Maybe you find a tomato with a blemish on it. You want to eat that tomato first. Things like that. I don't want to call it damaged, but it is kind of damaged. Eat that first.
Long term. It's going to go bad a lot quicker than what you imagine it could possibly go bad. So whenever you're searching through the potatoes, and that's the other thing. When we're harvesting, let's say we are going to harvest a basket full of tomatoes that we're going to can on, Wednesday night. It's Saturday afternoon. You got to be ginger with these things. You just can't blop them in the basket, because they're going to get bruised. And any slight bruise or blemish, by Wednesday, you're going to have now not one moldy, rotten tomato. You're going to have three or four that all sat next to one another, and you've lost a good chunk of what you're intending to preserve in whatever fashion you were trying to save them.
Right. Your rotten friends are making other rotten friends.
So, whenever we are, storing later in the fall, when we harvest our butternut squash, spaghetti squash, pumpkins, that type of thing, there is a curing process in which one needs to go through in order to thicken the skin for that long-term storage. And with garlic, many people are harvesting garlic now. You can use that garlic right away, or you can do what is called a curing process and allowing the upper portion of the plant to dry and put more flavor and flavor into the bulb. And that will keep you for 6, 8 months, maybe 9 months if things work out real well for you. And then you can, save the larger bulbs for the largest cloves for this fall's planting too. So everything, obviously we can't cover everything to its utmost detail, but we can kind of give you some guidelines on what to look for, what to do, what not to do when it comes to storing the produce and what's coming out of your garden.
I think the biggest thing is just keeping in mind how you're going to use it, what's going to be best for you, what's going to make sense in your home, and what's going to be the most convenient, essentially.
Exactly. Well, what's most convenient and the smart thing to do is to purchase from Walton's Incorporated, whether you are a butcher taking an animal from animal to edible, or you just need some phenomenal seasonings to impress your friends and family this summer when you're barbecuing back on the patio, porch, or deck, Walton's has all of that and more to suffice your needs.
Listen, everyone, we know you care about where your food comes from, and canning and preserving, as we just talked about, your fruits and vegetables is great, but think about the meat. At waltonsinc.com, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. Do you want snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created meatgistics.com. It's an informational website to help you make the best finished product. They even have a full line of their own meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers, etc. to help you go from animal to edible. That's waltonsinc.com, and the informational website is meatgistics.com. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.